pick it up. It's in the roof, it can't go anywhere.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, our second Lenten midweek service following Ash Wednesday. Continue on in our Lenten meditation upon honest repentance, a series put out by Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Reminder to all in attendance, please do fill out an attendance card you'll find in your pews and hand those to our ushers. They collect the offering midway through our service. A couple announcements before we do begin. You're welcome to join us for dinner following this service. I believe Sloppy Joe's is on the menu, so you can head on down to the fellowship hall following the service. We do have a special organ concert being put on by our own Eli Beadle on Sunday, March the 30th at 4 p.m., and that is to help benefit his fundraising for the trip he is going on with his school over to Europe. So if you'd like to hear his music playing and contribute to that, then you're invited to join him for that. Information regarding May Reihard's funeral, that will be this coming Tuesday at Friendship Lutheran Church of Joy in Southwest Champaign, and that'll be at 10 a.m. for visitation, 11 a.m. for that service, as she is a former member here at St. John. Order of service for this evening and afternoon is Divine Service Setting 3, beginning on page 184 in our hymnal. And so we sing now our first hymn, 645, Built on the Rock. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you all. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, from the beginning you have desired for all people to have faith in you. By your grace you enable us to cling to Christ and his word, even in the midst of trouble. Keep us always faithful to you, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son, Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his own son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father! And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. My son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Together we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What was God thinking? Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Take your son and offer him as a burnt offering. Murder your boy. This was Abraham's flesh and blood son, the one he had with his beloved wife, Sarah. They had finally conceived Isaac when Abraham was 99 years old, and Sarah was 90. Abraham had another son with Hagar, Sarah's servant, but he was not the son that God had promised. Isaac was. And now God was commanding Abraham to kill the son of promise. Through Abraham, all of the nations of the world were to be blessed, and the promised Messiah was to come through Isaac, the promised son. Now Abraham was to sacrifice him in fire to God. What was God thinking? This act of faith by Abraham is seen in the Bible as the ultimate act of faith. Paul explains justification before God Almighty through faith by giving Abraham's examples of difficult faith in Romans chapter 4. Hebrews and James both cite this story of Abraham and Isaac as the essential story of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Abraham had no idea what would happen after he had killed his son. Abraham would certainly feel sadness and grief at the death of his son. He would feel terribly ashamed and guilty that he was the one who did the killing. And he would hold anger and resentment toward God for making him do so. Sarah would likely hate Abraham for the rest of her life. Their community would doubt Abraham's leadership, thinking he had lost his mind. What was God thinking? The author of the book of Hebrews said, Abraham considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. In many stories today, the protagonist is often driven to the point of attempting the murder of the heinous villain. When they fail to do so, the protagonist often feels a sense of relief that they had failed, that they did not actually do the killing. But would they not still feel a huge sense of guilt for wanting to do the killing, and trying to do so? Abraham was in the very act of stabbing his son when he was saved by the Moloch Yahweh, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. Abraham then was told, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. What was God thinking? That was supposed to be it. A ram provided as a substitute, Isaac spared. They return to their people down below, and on goes the story. The story has been preserved for posterity, and we read it today, as have all Christians. throughout history. Did Abraham share this story with Sarah, with his community? When something tragic happens, we often try to speak faithful words. We know, supported by the scripture, that God has his reasons, that he will work good from these events. That those around us, and oftentimes we ourselves, are quick to linger on the drama or go back to the severity of what has happened. Abraham, man of faith that he was, would catechize the people surrounding him as to the meaning of what had happened, what God had him do. He would teach how this event does certainly point ahead to a sacrifice that would come, where a special son would not be spared. His sacrifice would mean the salvation of the world, Abraham would teach. But the people hearing that teaching by Abraham would be stuck on what Abraham himself tried to do, how they almost lost Isaac. What was God thinking? The Lord Jesus used the story of Abraham in his very own ministry. The Jewish leaders were busy challenging Jesus' great claims to authority and power. He had declared that anyone who keeps his word will not see or taste death. Quite a claim. The Jews brought up Father Abraham, pinnacle forefather of them in the faith. And as great as Abraham was, and all those with Abraham who heard Abraham speak those very promising words, they had died. And Abraham had died. So how could Jesus' word keep anyone alive? Did Jesus think he was greater than Father Abraham? Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, Jesus said. He saw it and was glad. Well, how is that possible? Only because Jesus is truly God. As he told the Jews before Abraham was, I am. Ego, eimi in the Greek, Yahweh in the Hebrew. Jesus was there when Abraham offered up Isaac. Jesus was there to save Isaac. And Jesus' day was foreshadowed in that sacrifice of the son, Isaac, by the father, Abraham. Jesus, the son, is offered up by the father as the sacrifice for all people. What was God thinking? Abraham believed this event foreshadowed what God himself would do for the entire world. He would offer his own son for the sake of all mankind. That was the gift of faith given to Abraham. But that faith is seen by the world as insane. How could God do that? What is he thinking, this God? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. We preach Christ crucified. Paul called that preaching a stumbling block to the Jews. Stumbling block is the word skandalos in the Greek. The cross scandalizes the Jews, makes them want nothing to do with it, embarrasses them. And to the Greeks, Jesus crucified is foolishness. In the Greek, moreia, stupid, moronic. What is God thinking? Well, God's foolish thinking is far greater than even our best wisdom, St. Paul writes. God's thinking wins for us eternal life and salvation. Now, it's quite common for Christians to doubt the Word of God and the promise that God loves us and cares for us when the chips are down, when things are not going right. A young person killed in a car crash dies too soon, we say. The person who eats right and exercises regularly dies suddenly of an aneurysm. How can we put our faith and our trust in the God who allows such injustice, such things? That would be our question if we were in Abraham's shoes. How can I believe in God when he wants me to kill my own son? Son of promise, even. Yet Abraham does believe. God has revealed enough about himself to create that faith in Abraham. Abraham knows God has power over the dead. Abraham knows that God has promised to save the world through Abraham's own son, through Isaac. And so he clings with a death grip to those very promises, even in the face of the worst catastrophe. When we do something wrong, we do not want to get caught. And the last thing we ever think of doing is simply coming out with it and confessing that sin, admitting our guilt. We're good at making up excuses, rationalizing our sinful behavior. And yet, God calls on us and all people to lay it all on the line. Lay your neck bare. Before Almighty God, His justice demands death for your sin. His mercy has provided a substitute. A sacrifice for you, his own dear son. Because of Jesus, God forgives you all your sin. This is scandalous to the Jews and foolishness to everyone else. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When all else fails in this life and everything falls apart, the truth of the cross remains. Your sins are forgiven in Christ. God has granted you faith to believe this sacred truth through the waters of baptism, and He strengthens that faith through the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper. That faith God credits to you as righteousness, the very righteousness of Christ. And that is what God has been thinking all along. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory. Seated once more as the tithes and offerings are collected. We stand for prayer. As people invited to believe that God is our true Father, and that we are His true children, let us pray with all boldness and confidence in the way that dear children speak to their Father. For the whole Christian church, that every Christian would cherish deeply the working of our God throughout all history to bring to us salvation. And for all those yet without faith, that they would be led to trust in the God of history who has won for them eternal life and redemption, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted for doing the Lord's will, that God would grant them courage, confidence, and boldness to confess Jesus, trusting Him who has conquered death, and let us pray for their persecutors, that the God who wants all people to be saved would turn all enemies of the gospel to repentance and faith. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our own lives of faith, that God grant us faith that responds to threats with the firm conviction that we will obey the Lord no matter the consequence, and that He engender in us confidence that His Son's resurrection delivers us even from death, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are struggling with disease, injury, or any type of trouble, whom we name now silently at this time, that the God whose Son promised to drive out demons, heal the sick, and reach His goal on the third day, provide each of them with peace, patience, encouragement, and an end to their suffering, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who govern us, that our Father would guide them by His Spirit, and fill them with wisdom, conviction, care, and a clear understanding of what is good and right, that He provide our land with peaceful and judicious citizens, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all first responders and those who serve in our military, that our Father would protect their lives and give them bravery, loyalty, strength, and reliability for their tasks, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who receive Christ's body and blood, that our Father forgive our sins, remind us that our citizenship is with Him in His kingdom, turn our minds from earthly things, and prepare us for the Savior whom we eagerly await, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave His life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the post-communion hymn.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Proceeded now as the closing hymn is sung.